You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network. This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with authors, entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to not only your business success, but also your personal success. Today, we are speaking with Jill Vanderwood, a mother, grandmother, and the author of 8 books. She loves to go on adventures with her family and tries to write something every day. Jill wrote her latest book, Erase the Problem of Bullying, because one of her grandchildren was being bullied at their school. Jill understood the problem of bullying because she was also bullied while she was growing up, a subject certainly dear to my heart and a supporter of Stop Bullying myself. Jill, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Well, thank you, Eric. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, the pleasure and honor is certainly ours as well. So to kick things off, I understand that you were bullied when you were growing up, as I'd mentioned earlier. Tell us about your experience in that regard.
Well, when I was in the fifth grade, I moved from the country to the city. And when I got to my new school, I didn't realize how close all these kids were with each other. They'd been in school together since they were in kindergarten, and I was the outsider. And one day I told on the boy and the other kids. I could hear the boys, other boys talking, and they said that they were going to get me back. And I didn't know what that meant, but they were just making my life miserable at every turn. Even if I was outside on the playground after school, they would pull my hair or spit at me or do anything that they could to make me uncomfortable. And this continued through the year of the fifth grade, and all the boys in the class kind of ganged together on this when they would say that they got my germs if they got near me, and they would just holler things out. And then one day, the girls in the class decided that they would make me the class president. And because there were more girls in the class, they voted for me, and the boys voted for another candidate, and I won. And I stood up in front of the class, and they were calling me names and throwing things at me, and I just finally just said, I resign. And I sat back down, and then they were cheering because the boys' candidate was able to win. And then one day, one of the boys brought a gas mask to school because his friend had to sit next to me in class. And he looked really funny, and I was laughing, but then I realized how hurtful that was. So this even continued in the summertime when we would be walking somewhere, one of the boys would throw eggs at us or spit in our hair, and then we'd have this dripping spit dripping down our clothing, and it was just going on, and it wasn't so bad during the rest of my elementary, junior high, because most of those boys weren't in my class, but off and on, I would run into this over and over, and I made a vow one day that I would never do anything to call attention to myself again. And so I became really introverted, and I wouldn't talk to anybody unless they were my close friends, and I would never speak up in class. And I just continued this pattern clear through adulthood.
Certainly not pleasant times, without a question. Those things can really take a toll even into adulthood. How do you know whether you are experiencing bullying, and could it be just teasing among friends? What are the signs there?
Okay. The definition of bullying is when there is an imbalance of power. So, for instance, in my case, there was the whole group of boys against one person, which was me. So there was definitely an imbalance. And also, if it's teasing among friends, it could be your friend has known you since you were a little kid and they bring up something from your past and it's embarrassing. And then they tease you about it. So I remember the time that you laughed so hard that something came out your nose or something like that. And so they're teasing you. And sometimes that's hurtful too. And sometimes even teasing can end up with somebody punching somebody. But usually it's not the same level as bullying.
How would you know if what you're really experiencing is discrimination or harassment?
Well, if it is harassment, perhaps you are a gay student and you're being harassed about being gay. And they're actually using that term in the things that they're saying. Or if they're using racial slurs, those are harassment. And they can be to another level to where they're illegal and you could even have a court case. And discrimination is if you're being left out of something because of your religion, your race, or some other thing that's going on with you, or your disability. So that would be discrimination. Say you're not put on the team because you have a disability and they aren't working with you. That would be discrimination.
I understand that you wrote your first book and it was published when you were in your 50s. When did you know that you wanted to be a writer?
Well, it goes back to the bullying thing where I didn't communicate with people. And I started writing because I wrote down everything, my thoughts, my feelings. I wrote poems and did a lot of things like that because of my communication skills being so poor. And then I was a grandmother and I started writing down stories about my grandchildren and telling them stories with their names in it. And one day I decided that I was going to try to publish one of those stories. And that was my first book, Through the Rug. And it's actually 10 years old now this year. So that's how I started. I just wrote everything and didn't realize I was really a writer.
Certainly impressive, and you can take a few notes on that, those that are interested in writing a book in the future. What are a few of your books, and why did you write those?
Well, I started out with my fiction books called Through the Rug, and there are two books in that series, and my third book will be coming out this year to celebrate the 10th anniversary. And this is an adventure with a grandmother and her grandchildren going into a magical place called Wishville, where all their wishes are granted. And I wrote that because I was telling the stories to my grandchildren, and they actually have the grandchildren's names in them. But these children are adults now, and they still love the fact that they have books with their names in it. Other books were written because of different things, like my environmental book is What's It Like Living Green? Kids Teaching Kids by the Way They Live. And that was written because it was Earth Day, and I was wondering if we had made any difference in the world since the first Earth Day. So I woke up one morning and I had the idea in my head to interview kids who were doing different things for the environment, because I feel that children are the ones that would lead us in environmental opportunities.
Today we're joined by Jill Vanderwood, author of her latest book, Erase the Problem of Bullying, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network in association with our author channel. You can also follow the show on Twitter simply at ePodcast Network. Jill, do you feel that you still have books that need to be written?
Oh, yes. I have many. I have many that are written in different on different levels of being finished, and I have more fiction books, and I'm going to be interviewing people for my next book, which will be What's It Like Living in an LGBT Family, because I want to tell about the situations that those kids face because of their family situation. And I will go into other books about different people that are being bullied for different reasons, so people can understand their situation in their life and how things are affecting them, maybe because they have a handicap or because of their religion.
Getting back on track on the subject of bullying, what are steps you can take if you think you're being bullied?
If you think you're being bullied, you need to tell somebody. If you're not comfortable talking to your teacher, your parent, then find somebody that you are comfortable. It could be your grandmother, your neighbor, and let somebody know this is happening. And then the steps that the parent or the adult can help you with are, maybe they can go to the principal. They can, if the principal won't do anything, then they could go to the school district even. And as a last resort, some parents even have to take their children out of the school, put them in another school, or sometimes they have to homeschool them because things aren't getting better. And every school is supposed to have its own bullying, anti-bullying policies. Besides that, states are supposed to have their own policies. So you can find out what those policies are and what your rights are.
And what can one do if they're being cyberbullied? In fact, it was coincidental. Before we had this interview, I was listening to the Dan Patrick Show this morning, and they actually had a promotion about bullying and cyberbullying, and some of the comments that they were making were basically things that people would write that they would never have the guts to say to someone's face, like, you have terrible breath, you're ugly, and all this kind of thing. Get into cyberbullying a little. What can we do if we're being cyberbullied?
Cyberbullying is a continuation oftentimes of what's going on at school, or sometimes you don't even know who is saying these comments, because sometimes they will not put their real name on there, or they will go onto a friend's Facebook page and make comments. And if you're being cyberbullied, there are also laws, state laws, about that. So if it's very hurtful or if they're threatening you, you can go and to the site where you're on and you can tell them what's going on, and that can be investigated. Sometimes even the FBI is involved if there is a death threat. And my granddaughter was being cyberbullied, and she would delete people, unfriend them, and sometimes they will come back on someone else's page. But if you can unfriend them, you can change your profile page. You can take your name and change your name and put it on somewhere else and just put your really close friends on there. Don't give out your phone number on Facebook, for one thing, because you don't want people calling your number to be vicious. And my granddaughter said that she took her Facebook down for a while, just took it down and didn't have these people bothering her until it died down.
Certainly helpful tips in that regard. What could be going on in a bully's life to make them become bullies?
I interviewed people for my book, which is an anthology, so it has stories from children who are being bullied, people that have grown up with problem of bullying, even celebrities who were bullied and became successful. I also interviewed people who were bullies. And one man didn't realize until he was an adult and he was teaching in a school that he was actually a bully. And he said that at home, his father was a soldier. He was military, and he wanted to toughen up his son. So he would play a game of punching, and he would punch his son in the arm. And if he didn't flinch or didn't cry, he would win. But the father always punched him, and if he would win, he would get to punch his father, but he never got to because it always hurt him and he would cry. So he would take that game to school, and he would punch kids in the arm at school. And he said one time him and another guy had a boy in the bathroom, And they were punching him in the arm, and the other boy wasn't doing it, but he was saying, punch him because he's ugly. Punch him because we don't like people with blonde hair. And it just kept continuing. And he said that it was because of what happened at home, and he didn't realize that he was carrying that with him. And then another person that I interviewed was, he's a federal prisoner, and his name is Cedric Dean. And Cedric is in prison for stealing and armed robbery and different things. And he said it all started because he didn't have a father figure. And so he would go out on the streets and play sports with gang members and drug dealers. And then they taught him that you can take anything you want because they have more than you do. And he said it led him to being in prison. And he said that jail is full of bullies, and they all started that way, and it just didn't end good. So he says he's teaching kids how to avoid this kind of behavior and have a better life.
Lastly, can a person survive bullying and go on to live a successful life? What is your take on that?
Yes, a person can survive bullying and live a successful life. And one of the examples I use is the story of James Donaldson. And James Donaldson was an NBA All-Star basketball player. And he almost gave up on his basketball career because of the bullying in the locker room. And he started in basketball maybe sophomore, junior year. And a lot of the basketball players were already playing, but his coach decided that because of his height, he was already about 7 foot tall, that he would make a good basketball player. But he was awkward, his hands were too big, his feet were awkward, and he had to learn. So the other boys kind of saw that he had potential, and they thought that he would keep them from their chance of being drafted to a college. So they would bully him and pull his towel off, and they would pinch him when he came out of the shower, and they would do things to him in the hallway, knock his books down and, you know, close his locker as soon as he opened it and things like that, call him names. And it was his coach that helped him. His coach decided that until he became good at basketball, he would blacken the windows of the gym and let him practice privately. And every time he tried to give up, his coach wouldn't let him. And the same thing when he got drafted to Washington State University, his coach there helped him also. And he would give him the key to the gym and say, practice every chance you get. As soon as you have dinner, get in the gym. And it was the coaches that brought him out of this effect of the bullying, and he didn't give up, and he went all the way to the NBA.
Certainly a great story and example. We certainly do appreciate your being with us here today, Jill, and for all that you're doing to put a stop to bullying. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about you and your books, and especially the book about Erase the Problem of Bullying?
My books are available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and I have a website, JillVanderwood.com. It's VanderWood, JillVanderwood.com.
Well, Jill, once again, we do appreciate your time, all the success, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Barry.
We have been speaking with Jill Vanderwood, author of her latest book, Erase the Problem of Bullying. And for more information on that book and others, it is JillVanderwood.com. And this has been Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.